We're kind of like your favorite pair of old sneaks. Incredibly comfortable, but smelly as hell. Ugh. This is Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
I'm Craig Scheman, Pete and Chris on vacay. Everybody back Monday, but we got Rick Church here on the other side of the glass. Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. I heard a story yesterday about Mick Jagger that he has been with some 4,000 women in his lifetime. Anyway,
gross.
Coming up, Bruce Jacobs will be with us. We'll talk about Kyler Murray. But first, let's keep this on time before it gets too loud. I told him we'd call him at 5 after. It is time for a SportsCenter rundown. Ladies and gentlemen, here's me.
SportsCenter update brought to you by Best Home Services. Service appointments available now. GetBest.com.
Well, the Buccaneers are still waiting the MRI results on center Ryan Jensen, who is carted off the field yesterday. Looks like a bad knee injury. The team's planning for worst-case scenario. The Cardinals have removed the independent study clause from Kyler Murray's contract, requiring him to spend 4 hours a week studying film. And Charles Barkley has told Greg Norman and the LIV Live Golf Tournament, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to stay with TNT the rest of my TV career. He had contemplated going over and being an announcer for the broadcast for the Live Golf Tournament. So anyway, I'm glad he's staying at TNT, but I wondered if he would be tempted by all the mega money out there. But it looks like he's going to stay. All right. The big news out of Phoenix, Arizona, and the Arizona Cardinals camp is Kyler Murray, and had that clause in the contract we've been talking about all week, independent study. Now they've removed it after pressure, and Kyler felt disrespected, according to the press conference yesterday. So I thought we'd go close to the source, a longtime friend of mine, Bruce Jacobs. Oh, you could hear with Dale Hellestray every morning, a 1580 the fan out there in Arizona. Bruce, how are you? How's it going?
Gentlemen, I am well. Last time we spoke, I was in Kauai. Today, I'm in Gilbert, known as Gilbert, Arizona, and it's actually cooler here than I think it was in Hawaii for for a day or two there. But other than that, enjoying the circus as we go to camp, and happy to be the brunt of jokes from all over the football world. So happy to be here.
Yeah, no kidding. Were you more surprised to learn about the clause being in the contract, or more surprised that they caved and took it out today?
Ooh, that's a good question, Craig. I'm going to say no surprise that it was in there.
Yeah.
But it's close. I will tell you it's close, because if you just, all you're doing is just reigniting it just the next day instead of just letting it go away, go on to the next day's outrage, flash, goofiness. They decided that they would double down on being the idiots of the week. I don't know what to tell you, man. I mean, yeah, I would say when first found out it was in there.
Yeah. From your experience in covering Kyler Murray, I mean, does he seem like a guy that doesn't take it seriously? There was a couple of, like last year, I thought I'd still question whether his true love was baseball and not football. So I don't know if he was into it or not, but did you ever question his dedication?
No, not really. No, I never have questioned his dedication. I've questioned his maturity. I've questioned the way he handled the postseason loss. I've questioned, his decision-making, obviously, from time to time. But, no, you hear things, his first year, him and Larry Fitzgerald. When I say Larry, he goes by only a first name here. Okay, he's known as just Larry.
Yeah.
It was maybe that Kyler didn't want to listen to him and, that sort of thing. Kyler is a loner, okay? He beats to his own drum, and he seems to beat to his, I'm sure he's got a circle of friends, but he doesn't seem to have a very large, which is probably not a bad thing. He's not exactly Mr. Exuberance. He's certainly a nice kid, certainly respectful. But, I've never ever criticized him for where I can totally see, and Bell as well. And, you know, Bell played, and, you know, flat out said, well, you know, he's just not studying hard enough, you know? Yeah. I mean, like DeAndre Ayton, he admitted that sometimes he gets very little sleep because he's addicted to video games.
Yeah.
That's recently he admitted to that. And, you know, Kyler's a big gamer, too. It wouldn't shock me if he's getting limited. The difference is that DeAndre decided to admit it, and, you know, Kyler hadn't said anything. He doesn't really, you know, he doesn't speak that much. I'm glad he came out and defended himself. But, no, I've really not questioned his work habits. I've not questioned his desire to win. I think he's a winner.
Yeah. Bruce Jacobs is with us from Arizona, and to talk about Kyler Murray. How about the health of the rest of the team? D-Hop, J.J. Watt, how's everybody looking this year?
You know, you got the D-Hop steroid suspension, so, you know, you're down six games with him.
Yeah.
You know, if you want a little good news, I guess it's the quote-unquote easiest, and it's not easy. I mean, when you come out of the gate with Kansas City, Vegas, and the Rams, amongst your first six games, that's not easy, but it's a difficult schedule. I mean, I think they look pretty good. I mean, you know, look, I think their offense is better. We won't know until, you know, week seven, maybe a little bit later, but I think their running game is better, their tight end group better, like their wide receiver group better. Not a big Christian Kirk guy.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to miss him too much. Didn't like his effort in the Rams game. Didn't like the fact that he wouldn't lay out for a catchable ball, in my opinion. At least one you should take a shot at.
Yeah.
So I think they're better wide receivers. And, you know, I don't predict doom and gloom. They're not going to be as good as last year, but I don't think they'll be too far off. I think they'll be, you know, right in the hunt for the sixth, seventh wild card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right about that. Talking about Bruce Jacobs. Now, Bruce, you mentioned DeAndre Ayton. How close, I know you're a big Suns guy out there. How close did you come to losing him? Or were they just using that whole process to find out what the actual market value was for him? Was he never leaving?
Well, I think close, to be honest with you, Craig. I think they were prepared pretty much anyway. Listen, they probably saved about $50 million, give or take a little bit, okay? Because if they had given him a deal, he would have gotten 5 years, and I forget exactly what the number is. I'm going to say about 180 something, okay? I might be a little bit off, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here, they only had to give him 4 years and 133. So, you know, I think they saved a year, and they probably feel pretty good about that. They think they came out a winner. I think if they had gotten something. Listen, I don't know if you agree with this, but I think the Rudy Gobert trade changed the entire marketplace right as the marketplace was really kind of cooking a little bit, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody said, four number ones, whoa, five players? And, you know, these aren't schlubs. A couple of these guys can ball, man. So, you know, I think it reset the market. And then, you know, Aiden and the Nets, depending on who you believe, you know, they weren't really interested in him, you know, regardless. I guess he's not their kind of player.
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe. So it kind of kiboshed that. And then you got all this complicated stuff with these contracts with Simmons and then Ayton and, I mean, Booker. So you couldn't do this deal. Who knows about that stuff? You need to go to college to break down the NBA salary cap. Good luck with that. But, yeah, I think it was very viable, and, you know, depending on how this thing starts to unfold, I wouldn't bet my house that Ayton is here all year. They can trade him after 6 months, but I wouldn't bet my house that they would trade him either. I think we'll see what happens
and
how things unfold here.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. Rudy Gobert made the trade market just ridiculous, especially when you're talking about KD. I think you're right on the money with that. By the way, your beloved Mets are around the corner, a little further to the south here, taking on the Marlins today. The Mets are good. You're excited.
Hey, I want to say to you, man, we know each other a long time. You know, I do have, you do a lot of these radio hits, and this is the first time in like 20-something years of doing this, sir, that I've ever been flown in by the radio station and given tickets to see my favorite team in action and hotel stay. So I really appreciate the lavishness of what you have bestowed to me.
All right.
And having said that, yeah, we're pretty good, man. Yeah. We're pretty freaking good. And if DeGrom is healthy, I think we will win it all.
All right. Well, we'll definitely have you on to talk about that. There's so many. I know you're a Jets guy, Mets, all the stuff going on at Phoenix. We'll always love having you on, and I appreciate you making time for us. In fact, I'm probably the last thing standing in your way of getting on with your weekend. So thank you very much for coming on today, Bruce.
That's always good, Craig. It's nice to talk to you, man. Stay well, okay, brother?
All right, you too. Thank you very much. That is Bruce Jacobs, everybody. You can hear him along with former Cowboy Dale Hillestray, 1580 The Fan or The Fanatic in Arizona. And I'd like to have him on. And so he was glad that Kyler Murray stood up for himself a little bit and said, hey, I mean, at that point, he kind of had to, didn't he? So anyway, yeah, your thoughts on that at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. I know it was a little, the cell phone was a little shaky and muffled there at times. So thanks for hanging in there with us. WFT says, man, Craig needs to take more vacation to catch up with everybody, with Pete and Chris. Yeah! I might just do that at the end, right before football season starts. Country Sucks says, hey, I'm no Wig, but I used to be in radio back in the day in Indiana. WPGW, it looks like. Be happy to come on down and help carry the show. All right, Country Sucks, you know what? You need to talk to Chris. Chris is in charge of all that. And maybe good to have Bullpen, a little help around here. And any of your other texts on anything that we talked about, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. And there are the Rick Church requests as well. Coming up, by the way, we will have Rickipedia. He's going to sit in before the hour is up, about a half hour from now. And to keep it in his wheelhouse, since he's from Minnesota, we'll do Vikings trivia. I haven't heard too much about the Vikings in the offseason, news-wise.
Well, I think most quiet. Interestingly about the Vikings offseason is how much we heard about last season.
Yeah.
And this apparent rift between Kirk Cousins and Mike Zimmer. Apparently, those two just did not like each other. And so that's, I think, come out more with some stories this year than we heard about last year. So,
well, I remember they hit a game-winning touchdown or something, and there were a couple chest bumps, and then Zimmer, like, his face turned, and he came out, and I didn't know what to make of that.
That was strange. Yeah, that was strange. But now, see, that's one of the things that just came out in the last week. What one of the assistant coaches, a broadcaster, who's real close with Mike Zimmer, said, "Oh, yeah, he was ticked. He thought that, you know, this was like that Kirk Cousins was using the opportunity of celebrating touchdown to get in a shot, and because Kirk Cousins did hit him pretty hard."
Yeah, well, I mean, chest bumps, head bumps,
yeah,
whatever.
He gave him a good little chuck, you know, and so, anyways, yeah, it's so you know, this may you know maybe with a maybe with a. New coach who's got the offensive coordinator experience that Kevin O'Connell has, and maybe this will be better well for Kirk Cousins this year.
Well, I've seen a lot of Kirk and Zimmer on interviews, and you know, Kirk comes off as a really nice guy, and Zimmer comes off as a bit of a hard ass. But that's kind of what you want with your coach and player relationship, yes?
I think so.
But,
I think
the word was it kind of wore a little thin, though, in Minnesota.
And it was born early in the season around the time of the whole vaccine mandates, because Kirk Cousins was one of those no-vax. He was an anti-vaxxer.
That's true.
And Mike Zimmer was not happy about that. In fact, he even made some comments. Well, he's supposed to be a team leader. You know, and he was not happy that Kirk Cousins was not going to get the vaccine. So that's kind of where that was born early in the season.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about all that. The only time you really hear about vaccinations anymore.
I know, it's weird to talk about, isn't it?
I know. Well, the only time you hear about it is when a baseball team goes to Toronto.
Canada, yeah.
And that's happening a lot. Like, there's always one to three players from every team that's not vaxxed.
Right, and there's a lot of, well, not a lot, but who's Djokovic, the tennis player, is not going to play in the U.S. Open because they still have a vaccine mandate in place as well for the U.S. Open tennis tournament.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that that's state or city driven at all. I think that's in place by the tennis organization.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, it's weird, and I think I know a lot of people that are getting this most recent variant. This is like what, the fifth or sixth one.
Whatever it is, yeah.
Yeah. It's more like a cold. Just a
UB 1642. Yeah. Or whatever.
That one's spread. It seems like, I'm not going to be a doctor here, it seems like with each variant, it's weaker, but it spreads faster.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I think we're down to a cold.
I think so, too. And in fact, you know, one of the most conservative counties in the country with mask mandates has been Los Angeles County.
Correct.
And they just announced yesterday, because they were actually debating reinstituting a mask mandate in Los Angeles County.
Yep.
And yesterday said, nah, we're not going to do it.
Oh, really? Yes. I hadn't heard that. I mean, I heard they were talking about it, but they said,
yes,
no, let's move on.
They're done with it. So.
Wow.
Yeah, that speaks volumes.
Having lived in Los Angeles for 10 years, I am so... That's the most stunning news I'll hear all day today,
yes,
Rick.
It is true. Yes, they said yesterday, nah, okay. No go, voted down.
Huh.
And they said it was due to the fact that the hospitalizations were way down, the seriousness of it was considered way down. And
so. Yeah. All right.
That's what I thought. I go, well, that speaks volumes right there.
Yeah.
Because Los Angeles County had been about as strict as any county in the United States with the COVID.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
Remember when there was talking about like football teams having to move their games and play in
UCLA,
other cities?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Let's see here. Now people are texting that they got the COVID and they recovered. And then Wig says the people's champ can sit in when Sheeman and Shepherd are missing again. Hey, I'm all for it. Listen, I'm all for it. I would like to hear a Wig / Otis co-hosting situation. In fact, I'd like that to be our lead-in. They could be killer. But I know they got real jobs, so, you know, I don't know. Anyway, so that's the latest going on there. I think we're all caught up. Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson still has no deal. Says he will cut off talks at some time, even though it seems like he just started the talks. DK Metcalf, $72 million, 3 years with Seattle, 58 guaranteed, 30 signing bonus, which is weird because Seattle is like no Russell Wilson, no Bobby Wagner, Chris Carson retiring, and they felt like I would not have been surprised if they let DK Metcalf go or trade or walk. I don't know. But the fact that they signed him, and we speculated about this earlier in the show, now all they need to do is wait for Jimmy G to be cut. And they can put him in a quarterback. Maybe they're not down to the studs on a rebuild. Blue Bowl says he can do an hour. Yeah, but Blue Bowl, you swear too much on the radio sometimes. We got to watch that.
Hey, we've had the red button Blue Bowl at time or two. Yep. I do remember that.
Just moved here, guy. Pittsburgh John and Philly Kevin would be epic. Hmm. Yeah, not a bad. We got... a nice little group. We could probably throw a few people in here. And again, more people saying how they got the COVID. They're texting again. I hear you, man. I hope you all feel better and get better for the weekend. All right. Speaking of the weekend, we are going to be on a Topgolf at 12:30. It's not 2:30. It's 12:30. We'll see you there. Going to have some fun with that if you've signed up for that. And... coming up in a moment, I will talk with Rick Kamla, talk a little NBA stuff with him there. What's the latest with Kyrie and KD? And Rick's always a great guest to have on, too. Very enthusiastic. You'll love hearing him. And another reminder, we got two more pairs of Busch Garden tickets. You can win a pair coming up at the 5 o'clock hour. And now I was told that we were taking people on the website. We're going to do a drawing on the website, ESPNSWFL.com, for another pair. Somebody said that had filled up and it was done effective today, so I'm not sure. I'll take the listener's word for it.
There may have been like a entry deadline, but they haven't announced a winner yet.
They'll announce the winner today. Yeah. Well, you can still call in and win in an hour, so we'll do that. And in about 20 minutes, we're going to play Rickipedia. So we got a lot going on. Rick Kamla next, Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports, sports, and more sports. Because unlike the women in your life, sports will never leave you. Or point and laugh during lovemaking. Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
I'm Craig Scheman. No Pete, no Chris. Rick Church on the other side of the glass. Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Thank you for tuning in today. Been a busy, busy day so far. Still a lot to come our way. We talked with William Quackenbush last hour from the Clemson Tiger Radio Network. Got his thoughts on the future of the ACC, how Clemson and Notre Dame fit in all that. Just got done talking with Bruce Jacobs from Arizona about Kyler Murray. Says he's glad that Kyler stuck up for himself, said he was disrespected, and that clause got removed from his contract. Coming up in a moment, we'll talk with Rick Kamla. We'll get to the inside, what's going on in the NBA. Is this free agency trade rumors, if you will? They just keep on going throughout the summer. And then Miley Cyrus remix at 5 o'clock and Harry Carey and more. All that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour as well, plus Wikipedia. That'll be coming up in about 15 minutes or so. So in the meantime, let us continue. 239-337 ESPN is the number. So Rick Kamla, longtime friend, NBA guru, although he points out he talks all sports on Sirius XM, is also on Mad Dog Radio as well. He is with us right now. Rick, how you been?
Craig, I have been great. Never better than right now, sitting on a chair right here at the water at the Gulf Coast, looking out after another fine show with AD on Give and Go, another week in the books, and enjoying some time here at the beach, man. I hope you're doing good.
Fantastic. I'm going to have to get myself to the beach shortly as well. You're living the good life. I'm glad to hear it. Everything's good here. Normally in the NBA in the past, we're pretty buttoned up by now. We figured out where everybody's going to be, you know, the July 1 free agency and trades and all that. But this whole thing with the Nets keeps lingering on. So I wanted to check in with you, get your pulse on the Kevin Durant situation, whether there's a trade market. It looks like maybe it's the Celtics or bust, and then we'll get into Kyrie. But first of all, what if you were to predict right now, is KD going to start the season as a Net, or are the Celtics going to kind of make some major changes to a team that was, you know, a game away and make a deal for KD?
Well, Craig, at this point, it looks like it's really condensed to Boston, as it's either sort of he goes to Boston through a trade or he starts the year in Brooklyn, because, Miami basically took themselves out of the market through a report recently, and they don't want to trade Bam. The Nets have to get Bam, mm-hmm. and Kevin only wants to go play in Miami if Bam is there. So that whole thing is stuck.
Yeah.
And so, okay, what, Phoenix, all right, DeAndre Ayton, they max the offer sheet. They can't trade him till January 15 of 2023 if they want to. At that point, you know, you're on pace for 55 wins. You're in the championship fast lane. They're not going to trade him at that point. So Toronto doesn't want to trade Scottie Barnes. So your options are Boston or begin the season with Durant and Kyrie, I believe, Craig. And look, I don't believe that the Nets want to trade Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. He asked out. They didn't ask out. And so they're dragging their feet and trading him, and they're asking prices incredibly high because they don't want to trade him. They want nobody to meet that price, and then they keep Kevin Durant. So Boston is the one team, I think, at this point that could bowl over Brooklyn with a hell of a deal and get Kevin Durant. But, Craig, as I said, looking at this beautiful water right now, I would predict that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving would start the season together in Brooklyn.
And I think they should. This is a team that wanted, you know, KD and Kyrie and James Harden, and they never, all of them really played together for a long period of time. They gave up on Harden. I don't know what Ben Simmons is or will be, but I think they owe it to themselves to try this together, with all the vaccine stuff with Kyrie. Now he could play a full season. I think they owe it to themselves to try it for 1 year and then blow it up next year if they have to.
Well, I agree with you. You know, obviously that was the Nets' plan, but Kevin had, you know, other plans. He asked out. You know, you're right, and that's one of the reasons why, look, Craig, I go with the flow of player empowerment and of players having their hand on the steering wheel of their career. I get it. And a lot of times I agree with what they do. You know, LeBron with Russ, obviously he steered the car off the road, but I'm cool with it, okay?
Yeah.
If I had a complaint or two about the Durant trade request, that was one of them. Like, you have an awesome roster. You're absolutely in the championship fast lane, as is. You're very near the top of the Vegas board to win the 2023 gold ball. So why not keep that going and at least give it one more shot? Because Kevin has been there with Kyrie 3 years. They've never gotten a full at-bat in the playoffs. It's always been an injury. Somebody hurt. 2 years ago, Kyrie landed on Giannis's foot. Harden had the hamstring. This year, you don't have Simmons. The year before, you didn't. The first year, you didn't have Durant because of the Achilles. So this would be, hopefully, knock on wood, if healthy, their first legitimate full at-bat with a chance to really win the gold ball. And I know the Brooklyn side wants that all to play out. It's whether, you know, again, Boston bowls over Brooklyn and gives them an offer that they can't refuse, and they say, okay, you met our extremely high price on Kevin Durant. Here he is.
Yeah, the price with Durant is so high, as you alluded to, and it should be on a very, very short list of the best players in the league. But I think the Rudy Gobert trade, we were talking about this earlier, that just elevated the cost of a trade for everybody. Because, I mean, four picks for Gobert or whatever it was, yeah, now you can ask for the world for Durant, even more so than before.
Yeah, and you know, the thing with the Gobert, I mean, you're basically right, Craig. How I look at it is the Gobert trade and what went back to Utah was light, very light on the player side, mm-hmm. right? You got Vanderbilt, Beasley, and Beverly, okay? You didn't get a centerpiece. You didn't get an all-star or a future all-star. You got role players, bench players,
yeah.
Good ones, but, you know, these guys are in their lane. There's no pop and sizzle with them, okay?
Yeah.
And so it's light on the player asset side to me, so that's why you got to go five to get Gobert. But to your point, everybody is looking at it the way you are. I'm on Kamala Island with this.
Yeah.
And if you get five for Gobert, you got to get seven or eight for Durant. And if you get five for Gobert, then you got to get six or seven for Donovan Mitchell. So I get it, but I don't think people are paying enough attention to the deficit that was on the player side going to Utah in that transaction.
That's a good point. We're talking with Rick Kamla. Now, Rick, you've known me a long time, and I've been a long-suffering Pistons fan, but for the first time I can stick my head outside. I'm a little excited about Jaden Ivey and Cade Cunningham. How much longer do I have to wait till we can start cracking playoff seeds?
Well, quite a while, actually, because – I mean, I'm sorry, Craig. You know, I don't mean to pee in your cereal. I'm definitely not trying to do that here. But, you know, I, you know, Craig, that's why we have been buddies so long. I tell it like it is, man.
Yeah.
Look, getting Jaden Ivey is a big win for you guys. I thought it was going to be Keegan Murray, who is a stud. I think there's more pop. There's more superstar potential in Jaden Ivey than there is in Keegan Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a win for Detroit, right?
Yeah.
Because Jaden was going to go four to sack. He ends up falling to you guys. That's a win. But y'all took a big L in this offseason, man. You had a chance to go get DeAndre Ayton. You
yep.
had the money to do it.
Yeah.
You had a report that linked Ayton to your team. He said he wanted to play with Cade Cunningham, or at least was open to that idea. That means he would go up there and take a max bag and play with Cade Cunningham in the D.
Yeah.
And to make that trade with New York, when you bring in Nerlens Noel, you bring in Alec Burks, you bring in their money, you take yourself out of the Ayton sweepstakes because now you don't have a max slot. A huge blunder by this team. And look, Ayton, the offer sheet would have been matched by Phoenix anyway, but I just didn't like the approach to that. Like, if you're Detroit, I'm nobody. I'm trying to be somebody, and I've killed the last two drafts. Now let me put the cherry on top of the sundae. I just didn't like the fact that they didn't even try to get DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, I'm with you. I hear you 100% on that. Hey, I don't know if you still keep in touch with Charles Barkley. I know you guys used to be tight. I saw that he turned down the LIV Live Golf money. He's going to stay at TNT and do basketball the rest of his TV career. Have you kept in touch with him, or are you surprised by his decision?
I actually texted him today, and he got back to me, and I just said, You know, I'm glad you're staying, just glad you're happy and you know, with your life and at peace with your life and all that. And, you know, me and Charles are buds going back to the Turner Sports days. I love that man. One of the most generous people I've ever met in my life, like literally. He's just an amazing human being, man. My wife knows him. You know, our family's friendly with him. So I reached out and just kind of gave him some love on the decision, and he texted back and said he appreciated that. And we haven't talked in a while and all that, but I'm so happy he's not going to live golf, and I'm certainly not going to get any sort of geopolitical issues on this. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. People say what they got to say. Bottom line is this: he said no. Mm-hmm. He will continue to be the franchise for the greatest sports studio televised show ever, in mm-hmm. my opinion, and will continue to be entertained by Charles on Inside the NBA on TNT. It's a huge win for the basketball world. It really is, because think about tuning into TNT. Okay, they got Ernie, they got Kenny, they got Shaq. I love these guys. Wait a minute. And I don't want to mention somebody else's name that could fill in, because they've got a great staff there at Turner Sports, but they're not mm-hmm. Charles, okay?
Yeah.
Like, that would be a what? No Charles. So it's a huge win for TNT and a huge win for basketball fans, man.
Well, I agree with you there, and I'll let you get back to the beach and maybe whatever your favorite beverage may be. And are you staying until sunset? I mean, are you locked in for the long haul here today or what?
No sunset tonight. I'm going to have to get back and help out with our little daughter. There's like a cone nap scenario going on at the at the homestead. So I got out for a little while. Now I got probably about a couple hours out here to feel God's beautiful sun, and then I'll be heading back home to hang out with my fam.
It sounds awesome. It is great to hear your voice, my man. Enjoy yourself, and we'll catch up down the road. Thanks for coming on today.
Craig, thank you. Be well.
All right. That is Rick Kamla, and you catch him on SiriusXM on the NBA show, and, of course, also on Mad Dog Radio on the weekends. I've known Rick for 22 years. Back when he was starting up on NBA TV back in the day, and we would go on each other's shows. So yeah, always glad to have him on. You could hear his enthusiasm for the sport, and trying to figure out what's going on moving forward. And I agree with him with Charles Barkley. In case you missed it, Charles Barkley had been toying with going over to the LIV golf tournament and broadcasting there, and all sorts of money being thrown his way by Greg Norman and the Saudis, apparently. Or as Barkley said, there wasn't an official deal. So I don't know how much money, if any, was thrown yet, but it would have been gobs and gobs of money. And then there was the question as whether he could continue to do it and stay at TNT, or he would have to pick one or the other. But it sounded like he was going to have to pick one or the other, because in Charles Barkley's statement, he said, I'm going to continue to stay with TNT. They've basically given me everything I've had in my playing career life, and very loyal to them. And for the rest of my TV career, I want to stay at TNT. So he will still be there. And I agree with Rick. He is the best of the best at the studio shows. Always glad to see him on TV. All right, let's squeeze in a call at 239-337-ESPN. My man Wig is standing by. Wig, how are you on this Friday?
Hey, man, I'm feeling good, man. I done got off work, man, head home for this good two-day weekend.
Yeah.
Something that I usually hardly don't get. But I just want to give you just a quick two-minute thing, because y'all brought up basketball, and it hit me because I just saw this a couple of days ago, and me and Chris been going back and forth about the uniform thing.
Yeah.
Did you see that Detroit is going back to their classic blue uniforms that Grant Hill played in, that blue that looks like the Jacksonville teal blue?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
You are the second person to bring it up to me today, and if it wasn't for you or that other person, I had not heard that. And I'm not happy about it, Wig. I did not like the teal Mustang Pistons uniform. I did not like it.
Hey, I like it, but like I keep telling y'all guys are over the hill just like me. They're trying to market to the younger crowd. I mean, once or twice, it's 82 games. It's not like they're going to play in them all year, guy.
Yeah.
You know, and like I say, it's like a motivating thing. You know, when they see that fresh throwback, it's like guys that play on 2K when they can change the uniforms and stuff. And, you know, some guys, like I say, man, I wish I could have played in that uniform. And so now when they come in that locker room and they see we playing the knees today, oh, man, I'm finna show out today. A couple of guys may have them some Instagram girls out there or something. So they're going to show out.
Well, like you like color and flash, and that teal did pop, and you know, it's kind of, if you want to talk about throwback, see, throwback to me for Detroit is still their kind of plain red, white, and blue uniform.
Blue,
if somebody's only 30 years old, they think the throwback is the Grant Hill teal, right?
See, exactly. So like I keep telling you, you know, with me still being a coach around these young guys, I know how they appeal to apparel and swag, sports apparel, hip-hop, that all kind of goes together. So you guys shouldn't want to buck the trend, man. That's why the word trend is called trending, because that's what's going.
That's
you
right.
You got to adapt to the trend, or it is what it is.
So if you've got two full days off here this weekend, what do you do? Are you a little R&R? You got some plans? What are you going to do?
Man, I just told you, I'm going to get, you see, I'm cheesing, you give me, I'm going to finally get me some PlayStation time in, because I'm playing the season in basketball and football myself due to the new Madden is about to come out. So I want to get, you know, play with that another season, and then the 2K. So, because once I get rid of a game, or that once the next year come in, I don't even play the next one. I just put it on the shelf.
Yeah.
That's unless somebody wants, when they come in, they want to call me out. You know, we can just go, what year you want to go? Because each year has certain different games, you know, like some of them have the Olympic team on there. Some of them have Jordan on there. So, you know, they're all pretty good games. And they're pretty much true to life. But, hey, man, y'all have a good weekend. I ain't going to hold it up. Y'all do what you do. And I'll see y'all this Wednesday.
All right. You got it, Wig. It's good to hear from you. That is Wig, everybody. Whether it be Wig Wednesday or Wig on a Friday, always invite Wig to the program. Always good to hear from him. All right. Wow. Time is flying, man. It is time to have a little fun here. No Pete. No Chris. We do have the ever-reliable Rick Church in the hizzy. So we will do Rickipedia. Whoever caller number 9 is, will take on Rick in trivia. Rickipedia, and since Rick is a Minnesota fan, we're going to do Vikings trivia. So Rick's at the advantage.
Craig's making it easy for me today, which I appreciate.
But the listener gets to go first, so they got the edge up on trying to get to 3 first, right. So it's kind of a wash. But Otis just texted and tell Wig it's not Wednesday. Well, I'm just glad Otis is still alive after those pictures he sent to the top of the construction site.
Kind of scared for you there, Otis.
Absolutely. All right, caller number 9, it's Rickipedia. It's Vikings Trivia, 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. Let's play Rickipedia, ESPN, Southwest Florida.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
Alrighty, it's Rickipedia today with Rick Church on the other side of the glass, the contestant. And, oh, this is going to be real confusing.
Oh, Craig, you've not even heard the half of it.
We got Rick versus Rick.
So I said, are you a big Viking fan? Huge Viking fan since 1968.
All right.
Oh, boy. And so then, of course, I'm not going to give the guy's email address, but we have to ask for their email address. It included the word Viking in the email address.
Oh, no. All right.
Yeah, so right. What are the odds? I swear this was caller 9.
Rick versus Rick. And
I'm nervous now.
This is like a play-by-play announcer. It has to do a college game like LSU versus Clemson. The Tigers and the Tigers are scores. All right, and he's in the Cape. Is that? Do I read that?
That is correct.
Rick in the Cape. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Very good. How old are you, Rick in the Cape?
I'll be 62 on Tuesday.
All right, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Why are you a Vikings fan? Are you from Minnesota?
No, originally from upstate New York, and Vikings were one of the first teams I ever saw on TV.
Okay, fair enough.
Just stuck with them.
First one to 3 correct answers is a winner. You, Rick and Cape, get to go first. And Rick Church, are you able to reach the dinger and buzzer while playing at the same time?
Yes, I am, but okay. I don't have the answer.
I'll give you the thumbs up or the old-fashioned way. All right,
I'm ready.
First question is for Rick and Cape. What stadium did the Vikings play their first 20 seasons in?
The old Metropolitan Stadium.
That is correct. All right, 1-0. Rick Church, give me the actual name of the Vikings' current stadium.
Bank of America Stadium.
Ooh. Oh, I have a different one.
Am I? Is it? Hold on, I got to double check now. I want to buzz you. Unless Rick and the Cape, you got what is the actual name of their current stadium?
No, I'm drawing a blank on that one.
All right, I have U.S. Bank Stadium. Am I right? Or okay, because sometimes we have controversy here. All right,
shame on me.
Oh,
I got my banks mixed up.
All right, Rick and the Cape leads Rick Church 1-0. This question is for Rick and the Cape. Which Viking running back rushed for 296 yards in a single game during his rookie season?
That would be Adrian Peterson.
That is correct. All right, you have a 2-0 lead. Rick Church, which Vikings wide receiver set a single-season rookie touchdown reception record?
Randy Moss.
Randy Moss in 1998, 17 touchdowns. All right, Rick, well, both Ricks are on the board. Rick in the Cape with a slight lead. Rick in the Cape can win it if he gets this right. The nickname of the Vikings defensive line in the 60s and 70s.
The Purple People Eaters.
That is correct. Rick in the Cape with a 3-1 win. Congratulations, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, listen, you have a grandiose birthday celebration next Tuesday. Thanks for listening, man.
Thanks, you guys. Have a great day, too. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very
much.
Thanks,
Rick.
Yep.
All right. Rick Church.
Yeah.
I got a few extra here. Let's scramble, see if we can get these.
U.S.
Which Vikings player recovered a fumble and returned it 66 yards in the wrong direction?
That would be Jim Marshall.
That is correct. Ding yourself.
Oh, okay.
Fran Tarkington's jersey number.
10.
Bonus point if you can tell me the only other Viking to wear number 10.
Ooh.
Old school.
Norm Van Brocklin?
I got King Hill. You remember
that,
King Hill?
No, I don't even know that one.
Who did the Vikings play in their first Super Bowl?
Kansas City Chiefs.
That is correct. Ding yourself. Which Viking served as an associate justice of the Minnesota Supreme Court?
That would be Alan Page.
That is correct.
Part of the aforementioned Purple People Eaters.
Who do the Vikings play August 14th in their first preseason game in a couple weeks? Have we glanced at the schedule yet?
I probably have, but I don't think Cleveland Browns.
The Raiders. And you probably won't get this then. Who do the Vikings open up the regular season against?
It's not the Packers.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
The Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, that I remember because I remember thinking, yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Set the tone early in that
one. All right. Well, the two Ricks have squared off. Vikings trivia is in the books. Some point shortly, we'll put this up on the website. I've been putting all the Wikipedias up there. I call them the Craig Sheeman Wikipedia home version, if you want to dazzle and amaze your friends, at ESPNSWFL.com. So you can check that out. All right. That's pretty good. We're in the books. We got another hour to go.
Now, are we too early to go to break, Craig? Because I know we get complaints if Miley starts too early.
You are 1,000% correct. I need to vamp here for a moment.
Okay.
I mean, it's been a big day. It's been a whirlwind. I feel like we've been nonstop. We've had
it has.
Three guests, which is, you know, three more than normal or two more than normal. Mm-hmm. With Rick Kamla, yet another Rick. It's been all Rick hour.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Jacobs from Phoenix talking about Kyler Murray and William Quackenbush talking about Clemson and the ACC in the 3 o'clock hour. So very grateful for all of them coming on today. And if you missed any of their interviews, they will be posted up at our website, ESPNSWFL.com, under the Sheeman Shepherd podcast. A lot of sports today, Rick. Last time you were on, I believe at one point we went an hour 20 without even talking
it was,
sports.
Yeah, I think it was actually, closer to 2 hours, correct.
Yeah.
Yes. We do have some sports today.
Yeah, there have been. Yeah. My man Otis is checking in. He stopped off to get some gas at a 7-Eleven. Then he went in to get a Mega Million ticket. Mm. The drawing is tonight at 11 o'clock.
Yes, it is.
It's $1 billion.
$1 billion.
And he said the line is astronomical.
Yeah, your odds of winning are something like 1 in 310 million, I think, was the latest odds I saw on that. So,
well, that
good luck to y'all.
Doesn't seem very fair. I bought one. I bought one last week, too, and obviously I didn't win. A lot of numbers in the 60s. It was like three numbers in the 60s. That was weird. And then I lost that, and I went out and bought another one. I only bought one. I'm not like that guy.
Yeah, they're $2, right?
Yeah. Unless you want to do a mega multiplier. Then is it three or is it four? I can't remember.
A mega multiplier?
Yeah, like if you win $1 billion and you get the multiplier, you win $2 billion.
Really?
Yeah, it doubles or something
like
that.
Okay, like you need more after $1 billion, right?
I'm satisfied with calling myself a billionaire. I don't have to be a multi-billionaire.
Now, that billionaire, though, that $1 billion is the standard annuity payments over the course of several years. The majority of people, when they win the lottery, take the one-time lump sum payment, which I think they still said was like $800 million. So.
Yeah. Oh, is it that high? So, I mean, I thought maybe $700 or $800 million minus taxes, whatever. But, yeah, I'm cool with that. I'm cool if you only want to give me like, $600 million. I can make do.
Yeah, I think so.
Boo Bees texting in. There were eight... ahead of him and 10 behind him in his line.
Oh, yeah, he sent in a picture. Look at that.
Sent in a picture.
Wow.
Wow. 7-Eleven says you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Got to buy a ticket. You can't win if you don't play.
And I love that he put Michael Scott and Wayne Gretzky both.
Yep.
That's an office joke where Michael Scott puts that quote on a board. And then he puts Wayne Gretzky, then he puts his own name below it. Like he quoted the quote, you know, Michael Scott.
There have been so many tickets to sell that sales guy says it's now up to $1.28 billion ridiculous. As of 2:30 today. Wow. I like this, actually, between Otis and Boobies. And,
I'm concerned, though, now, Craig, because I need to stop at a convenience store on my way home from work, and I hope there's not like 20 people in line buying lottery tickets.
Are you buying lottery tickets or you have other business? To do?
I'm not. I don't know that I've ever bought a lottery ticket in my life.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, if I win, I'll give you a little something.
Will you now? Okay.
Sure. I mean, $1.3 billion. I mean, how much money do I need?
Yeah.
I'll be very generous. I'll be like a philanthropist.
Fantastic. Well, go, Craig.
Yeah. Root for me.
All right. I am.
Okay. Now I think we have sufficiently let time go by.
Yes, sir.
The Miley Cyrus weekend remix kickoff is coming up next. Harry Carey. We'll see if Harry bought any lottery tickets because he manages money for a living, so he would know what to do with it. So we'll have him on. Also, I want to remind you about our good friends at Sanibel Shutters. Take a look around your house here this weekend, and you go, you know what? House is looking pretty good. It's doubled in value. But you know what? My windows, they look weak. Help them out with some authentic plantation shutters. Factory direct pricing, hardwood collection, highest quality, handcrafted right in the shop here in Fort Myers with Sanibel Shutters. I went and visited them about 3 or 4 weeks ago, took a look around, and met a couple of the guys in the back. I mean, they take so much pride. Nothing cookie cutter there. It's all precise, individual. So what you need to do, check out Sanibel Shutters. First of all, their website's super easy to remember in case you're driving around on your camera. SanibelShutters.com. SanibelShutters.com, locally owned and operated. Then you call Robert over there. I'm going to give you their number in a minute, although it's on the website. Call Robert. He'll consult with you, make your dreams come true with the highest quality plantation shutters. I love plantation shutters. They look fantastic. They got a great warranty over there. They got their own install team. Nobody farmed out. No contractors. Sanibel Shutters. The website, SanibelShutters.com. Their phone number, 800-207-1070. 800-207-1070. Call Robert. Tell him Craig at ESPN sent you. Sanibel Shutters. Miley Cyrus, the 5 o'clock hour on a Friday. Coming up next, Sheeman & Shepherd, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.